Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Let's then be clear at the beginning. Mr. President, you exhibit all the signs of a petty and cruel dictator. For the illiterate and ignorant, this is dangerous propaganda. When you come to a place like this, this makes you quite simply ridiculous. You are either brazenly provocative or astonishingly uneducated.
The president of Columbia University, Lee Bollinger, there, introducing the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, yesterday. And now, fresh from being at the center of the universe over the Ahmadinejad appearance, President Lee Bollinger joins us live. President Bollinger, thanks for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks very much, Brian.
Have you decompressed yet?
I'm fine. I mean, it was quite an experience all the way around. I mean, it was very important to uphold the principle of free speech for Columbia and for universities in general, but the event took on a significance that was quite beyond what I expected.
Besides affirming free speech, how did it go? What purpose did the whole thing serve in hindsight?
Well, I think that's hard to answer in just a few sentences. I think that we as a society over many decades have evolved a position on openness of public debate that protects and sort of counsels us to deal with even the most odious opinions in a very forthright way through speech, through dialogue, and I think that has been affirmed here. I do recognize there are a lot of people who think differently and think that the scope of academic freedom and free speech generally should not go that far, and that's been a debate that's been part of free speech for many, many decades.
Have you ever introduced a guest to the university in a negative way before?
Not to this extent. On the other hand, we haven't had a guest that commanded that type of introduction.
What standard, though, do you then set for future controversial speakers? You didn't introduce the Minutemen that way, though I suspect you may see them as a racist vigilante group, as many of your students do.
Well, there are many people who come to Columbia to speak, just like at every university. The Minutemen that you referred to, they were invited, and Jim Gilchrist, the head of the Minutemen, was invited to speak at Columbia by a student group. So this was a student-run event, whereas this was a School of International Public Affairs and faculty event that was incorporated into a university-wide event. So I don't run around the university introducing speakers, and students can invite many different people. They do. Faculty can do it, and they do. But this was a very special event for obvious reasons, given the significance of the speaker, but it was also a university event coming out of a school.
Let me get your reaction to this. This is the well-played clip of Ahmadinejad reacting to your introduction as he begins his remarks.
At the outset, I want to complain a bit from the person who read this political statement against me. In Iran, tradition requires that when we demand a person to invite as a to be a speaker, we actually respect our students and the professors by allowing them to make their own judgment. And we don't think it's necessary, before the speech is even given, to come in with a series of claims.
So were you surprised, first of all, by the student response? You heard there lots of cheering and applause for Ahmadinejad, and this came at various points, including his complaint that you were too discourteous to him. The Times this morning estimates the sympathetic students at about 30%. Were you surprised by how divided the audience was?
Let me say first that it was very clear in our discussions with Ahmadinejad and his representatives that I would do an introduction that would be very sharply critical of him. And and have strongly worded statements and questions for him. So there's no surprise on his part in this. It was part of the understanding. And by the way, I mean, the only way one does something like this is with academic standards of dialogue, confrontation, use of question and answers, and so on. So the context, I think, was completely laid out in advance. As far as the reaction of the audience, I really don't know. I mean, I was sitting there along with everyone else, but exactly what was in some people's minds or most people's minds, I don't know. So I think this is part of the ongoing debate and discussion to sort of figure out, what does this person stand for? What does he believe? What has he done? What does he propose to do? What are the issues with Iran? Are we at risk of going to war with this country? How much do we understand about it? How sympathetic are people to various views? I mean, I think this is the intense political debate that we're under, and yesterday was just one day in that.
Well, true, and my guest is Columbia University President Lee Bollinger on WNYC. But what do you think the audience response means? Again, I wasn't in the room, but I heard a lot of applause for you. I heard a lot of applause for him. The Times estimates that the anti-Ahmadinejad portion of the audience was about 70%, but that 30% of your audience, does it mean that they are Holocaust deniers and Ahmadinejad supporters and think there are no homosexuals in Iran and all of that?
I really don't know, Brian. Let me say this. I would be stupefied if anyone in the audience in any way thought it plausible what he says about the Holocaust or about the treatment of Israel. I mean, I would be stunned. As far as the appropriate, whether it's appropriate to have him appear at Columbia, whether there are some things that he proposes that some people find reasonable or attractive, that's hard for me to say. I thought that there were a few people in the audience I could see who seemed to agree with some of the things that he said or stands for. Again, I said what I felt, and I think it's extremely important that the full force of one's beliefs and challenges be expressed in an event like this, because it's just too easy to slip into a kind of polite discourse about the most serious matters we face. And so I felt that the tone and the character of the event had to convey this kind here, of free speech challenge.
Here is one Columbia International Affairs student, not pro-Ahmadinejad as he identifies himself, interviewed by WNYC News after the event.
There's one thing to criticize, the ideas of the Iranian president, and I share all his critical questions, but I think his insults is a very bad way of welcoming somebody to discussion.
What do you say to that student and others like him?
Well, I think it's a reasonable question, a reasonable point of view. What is the appropriate context for having someone like this? My own personal view is different from that. The greatest concern I have is that it will not be a robust exchange, and that a person like this who has beliefs that I and has done things that I think are extremely important, those need to be challenged, and in a very direct way. I mean, my view is that's what free speech means. It doesn't mean just having someone speak and us listen and polite questions. It means really taking on issues in a thorough and thoughtful and sincere and authentic way.
One more example on the question of what standard or precedent you may have set yesterday. You know, there's a move afoot now that I've heard about at Stanford to stop an appearance by Donald Rumsfeld. And one could say, arguably, Rumsfeld has done more physical harm to more people, indeed, not just word, than Ahmadinejad. Should the president of Stanford dish it to Rumsfeld?
Well, I mean, one needs to take each of these cases and to be very careful about the facts and the principles at stake. My understanding is that this is not about Rumsfeld coming and giving a speech. It's about him having an appointment at an institute, the Hoover Institute, that's part of Stanford. My own personal view is that one's political beliefs and one's conduct in life, generally speaking, should not play a role in the decisions about who to appoint to the faculty. I think we make judgments based upon scholarly standards and the ability to contribute to scholarly life and teaching and so on. So I think that's the framework, the standard. Whether or not Don Rumsfeld qualifies in that kind of analysis for the Hoover Institution, I frankly do not know, but I would be sure as president to insist that his political views and his conduct as Secretary of Defense not play a role in that appointment process.
There is an Iranian Columbia alum, an academic named Kian Tajbakhsh, who you have demanded the release of, and said you would appoint him to a professorship at Columbia if they stopped detaining him in Iran. Was a condition of Ahmadinejad speaking at your university that the Columbia alum be released in Iran?
No, I would not call it a condition. But we did have and are continuing to have very, very close and conversations, discussions with the Iranian representatives about his release and his ability to leave the country. So that has been part of the discussions that we've had, but we did not make it a condition of his speaking.
The school is having negotiations with the government of Iran?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
The university, Columbia University, is having negotiations with the government of Iran over this individual?
We have discussed with the representatives the treatment of him and ask, along with a lot of other institutions, including the Open Society Institute and the Woodrow Wilson School and others, or Institute, that these four individuals whom it strongly appears have been imprisoned for free speech, basically, for political activity, that they be released and not punished.
I interviewed Barack Obama this morning. We'll play that interview later. He was critical of the media for making such a federal case out of Ahmadinejad speaking at Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with him, and would you have dished it to Ahmadinejad as much as you did were it not for the media firestorm? Or were you pandering in some way because of the out, or feel pressured, or even just genuinely reconsider what your introduction would be like because of the media firestorm?
The answer is very clearly and directly no. I did not say what I said because of anything in the media. I think there is an ethical, moral obligation in debates within a university to express the full strength of disagreement and outrage at things when they reach that level, and they clearly have with respect to Ahmadinejad. As far as the media coverage, I want to say, first of all, that there's a very reasonable debate about the scope of academic freedom and freedom of speech in the country. I think that's, I said that at the beginning. On the other hand, I think it's distressing that there isn't greater voice on behalf of the full, robust free speech position. I think that's really important, and I wish there were more voices about that. I mean, it's quite striking to me that everyone seems to accept as normal that television stations, networks, and the press generally would interview him and give voice to his ideas to tens of millions of people. And yet, if a university does this, somehow that is regarded as inappropriate. Mm. And I just I think that's a misplaced comparison.
Last thing, and I appreciate your time, President Bollinger. I defended your invitation on the air here over the last few days, largely on academic grounds, that your international affairs school is training our future foreign policy officials, and they will have to deal with Ahmadinejad or the next Ahmadinejad in their careers. So separate from the free speech issue, what lesson do you think those students may have learned in that room that they couldn't have learned by watching Ahmadinejad on the world stage?
First of all, I want to say how much I appreciated your statement. I agree with it completely, and I want to say you were the first, and I think the one of the only people to sort of speak out in this way prior to the event, and I very much admire that. I think I would say students, you see something, you experience it firsthand, and it's amazing how that can have an impact on touching your curiosity. You learn other things. You get a feel for someone. You watch, are they just very, very clever? Or are they completely ignorant? What is the logic of the person? You just watch differently and you learn differently when you actually interact with someone in the same physical in physical proximity. So I think that's the really key thing. It's just different to watch someone speak on a television program than to actually see them perform, and in a context where your peers are asking the questions. And so it's a, you know, I would say the thing that I'm most pleased about here is the way students conducted themselves throughout the university. I mean, the large number of discussions and debates and opportunities to protest in good ways and express support. It's really quite remarkable. And if you want to be hopeful about the future, all you have to do is look at young people in this kind of context.
The president of Columbia University, Lee Bollinger, thanks so much for coming
Thank
on with us today.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So, what did you learn, Columbia students, from having Ahmadinejad on the campus today? We'll have about a 10-minute call-in next for students, first priority, who were in the room. If you were there, what did you learn about Ahmadinejad yesterday that you couldn't have learned by watching him in the media? 212-433-WNYC, or any Columbia students may call 212-433-9692. Columbia students, what did you actually learn from being the center of the universe and watching Mahmoud Ahmadinejad on your campus yesterday? 212-433-WNYC. Call us right now.